Good morning. 8:00 something. 8:09 a.m. on Saturday morning, the 23rd day of April. Yeah. I've just completed the first mile in way too short a time. So I'm a little bit winded, but I had some good tunes this morning. I was bopping. I had a great time walking this morning. Second mile is yet to go, so let's see if we can't keep up the pace a little bit here. Just shut off Uptown Funk to do the talk, and you don't believe me, just watch. Okay, so yesterday was a 3K day. It took me until somewhere in the evening to get there. I cheat a little bit because I had 600 in the bank from the day before that I counted as zero. But still, we're over 12K. I like the way it's going. I need to get more done today. It's not going to be a blank day in terms of outside chores and things I need to do, but I'm getting the walk out of the way. I'll be home by 8:30. I'll be having my breakfast by 9. And if I can keep a little bit of focus going, we'll be deep in the weeds by 9:05. Let's see, what else am I going to talk about today? Because I was so into what I was doing yesterday, I didn't really have a chance to talk to, read about, do things. Somebody on the CIFWA forums asked, what do you do for increasing and managing your productivity? And I started putting a list together between the to-do list whiteboard and the calendar status board and the Google Calendar and the alarms on my phone and all the things that I try to use to help me get focused, stay focused, keep moving. 3K day yesterday was a big psychological boost for me. At 1,000 words an hour, that's really only 3 hours of work. And part of that is, in large part, because until the story actually gets going, trying to get 5K a day is kind of a pain. Because I spend all my time floundering and flubbing around. The Rachel Aaron 2K to 10K a day writing book is, it's interesting. It's like, you sit down and take 5 minutes and figure out what you're going to write next. And then go write it. And there's a certain logic there. There's a certain flow that happens there. The problem is, I don't know what's going to happen next. Let's see them on now. I ended last night in almost the middle of a sentence. So I'm hoping I'm going to be able to pick it back up. They're ordering food to go on the ship. They're ordering spare parts. They're charging it to the station owner account because he gave them an account to charge it to. And then they're going to go over to Odin's Outpost and deliver a chip. And they've got 48 standard hours to get it there. Time is ticking, tick-tock, tick-tock. And if they do it, they'll get another job. Vertical Condor has offered them another job if they get it delivered in time and get back. So they're in the process of doing it. Along the way, I've discovered some interesting things about Zoya, for example, that I didn't know. It turns out she's a belt rat. She grew up, as she says, between the belts and Margery, and learned how to fly ore barge, and she knows a way around mining. But she's never been in toehold space, so she's very, very on edge, because what she knows about toehold space is just the, oh dear, pirates and murderers, the murthering scum. And she's shocked to find out that the banking system that she's been using all of her life is the one that's actually based in toehold space. That High Tortuga, some of you will remember the High Tortuga, actually exists, and it's it's a bank. If you read the Traveler's Guide to Toehold Space on SolarClipper.com, you'll know how High Tortuga is a bank. They also have some other skill sets that aren't quite so common that I think will be coming to the fore later on. Now, one thing I was watching was, wasn't yesterday, it was the day before, was the keynote from EVEfest 2016. Live from Reykjavik. Oh, God, I would love to go to an EVEfest in Reykjavik. I'd love to go to Reykjavik anyway, but... it was interesting. They were talking about the new player experience. And for people who just start out in EVE Online, yeah, it's a learning cliff. It is... depending on where you think you are in the process, you either have to jump off... or try to climb up, and there is an overhang at the top. So it's a bit of a challenge. The learning cliff, the new player experience. Statistically, they're getting a monstrous number of new people trying EVE, and then losing most of them within the first 2 hours. And I'm convinced that part of it has to do with the new player culture, the new player experience, relating to other people, because the help channels aren't terribly helpful. And the last time I saw, they were still giving newbies who asked questions bounties, small bounties, 100,000. It's nothing really, and it doesn't really matter because nobody's ever going to collect it. The only way to collect it is to be in a $500,000 ship and get killed by another player, and then they get to collect that 100,000. Which, for a new player, getting killed is like, no. They're used to other MMOs where player killing is legal and is generally a considerable setback and all the rest. And the reality is that if you get killed, you respawn in another clone and start over. And as long as you're not carrying everything you own with you when you get killed, chances are good that you're not going to lose that much. A 500,000 ISK ship is pretty cheap. But for a new player, a 500,000 ISK is a lot, because you start with like 5,000, and you need 100 times that to buy the ship you need to be killed in order to lose the bounty. And basically what it is experienced players griefing new players and being largely unsympathetic to the new player experience, to being completely overwhelmed by a huge universe, and you have no idea how to navigate, you have no idea how to find anything, you have no idea where anything is, you don't even know what anything might be. Uh, Every time I think of a new player coming in, I think of there's a gym. Because Ishmael had no way of knowing it. He had no way to know that he should look, or how to look, or where to look, or what to do, or pretty much anything. Monk post. And that's the new player experience in Eve. Lately, the new player experience is you start in a ship. It's a rookie frigate. Not to be confused with a rookie frig, which is probably somewhat else, something else, but they call them frigs because they're frigates. And they call them desis because they're destroyers. And of course, the first thing the new player wants to do is, how do I get a bigger ship? And the answer is it takes time. You have to learn the skills. But learning the skills is a question of real time, not game time. So you log in, you load up a bunch of skills, you log out. And when you come back tomorrow, you have more skills and you can do more things. Now, that's kind of boring. It's kind of an odd way to run a game, but it makes a certain amount of sense when you get up into the layers where learning can take a month or more. I've trained several skills that have taken over 30 days. I think I've trained one that was 45 days long. Single skill, 45 days. You start it, 45 days later it ends. And you can use that skill. Those are... when you tell somebody who's new to the game, who's been playing for a couple of hours, that the big ship that they want will cost a billion isk, and then it will take them 45 days or 80 days, 90 days, 90 days is not uncommon, 90 days to train for, say, a marauder. And then you can sit in the marauder, but after 90 days you can't, I don't have any weapons, you don't have any defense, you don't have any offense, you don't have any gunnery or missile skills, you don't have any of the support skills that let you actually fit the weapons that you need to fit to keep those big honk and slow mothers of a ship from getting blown up by the nearest frigate. Which, when you first lose a battle cruiser to a frigate, you go, what the hell? And the answer is the frigates are, the game is fairly well balanced. Frigates are pretty powerful, and they're very fast. And battle cruisers are very powerful and highly armored. They're not very fast. They've got these big guns. But if they've got the wrong kind of big guns, they can't hit a frigate that's right inside. You get the frigate under their guns, and you start orbiting them at 500 meters. And their big, massive, powerful pop guns can't hit you because they can't track fast enough to catch up with you, to shoot you. And you will be several hours trying to grind them down with a frigate's weaponry. But it's actually possible to do. That's also something that you have to be careful of, because frigates in a group are nasty. Think of piranhas. You know, one piranha is going to take a bite out of you. 100 piranhas are going to take your leg off. It's the same with frigates. Frigates are piranhas. So it's interesting. They were talking about the new player experience. Anyway, I digress. And they were talking about how, for new players, they really need to have a mentor who can be their on-call... what do they call it? Technical assistance. So, how do I do this? How do I do that? Chris Mooney was playing with me for a while, and he had a terrible time with the different weapon systems, because he kept putting weapons on his ship that were he wasn't skilled for. So there's a gun, and particularly the rail guns and the Minmatar autocannons look a lot alike. When you look at the little icons, they look a lot alike. But they're different weapon systems. Mimitar uses the projectile weapons, and the Galente and Caldari use hybrid weapons. Technically, they're called hybrid weapons, railguns and blasters, which are really cool and do really, really significant amounts of damage. All the weapons do just about the same amount of damage. So if you have the low-end projectile weapon, it'll do about the same amount of damage as the low-end railgun, which will do just about the same amount of damage as the low-end missile system, which will do the same amount of damage as the low-end laser, energy weapon. So they all do about the same amount. And what you need to do is trade up. You need to learn the support skills. So, learning the skills and learning the support skills, learning the skills that let you be more effective is really the key. And if you do that early in the game, while you're still flying ships that don't cost a billion ISK, then when you start moving up in through the ranks of destroyers and cruisers and battle cruisers and battleships and marauders, Tech II battle cruisers, you're not so likely to lose one because you're able to actually fit them with weapons and systems that help keep them alive. But the line that stood out for me on the new player experience portion of the keynote was arranging it so the new players felt like they were part of something from the beginning. A lot of players don't realize they're part of a corporation when they join, so they don't see it themselves as being part of something. They're kind of solo, which is not so, but it's what it feels like. But he was talking about players with their own stories. Players who have stories about the time they did this, or the time that happened to them. Experienced players have a lot more of those stories. They participate in battles, they participate in wars. I've got a character that was all the way down in Gedon and Tenerife, the corp got kicked out of, had to leave Gedon because the Russians were moving in, so I don't remember why now. We had this massive, massive logistics train to get everybody and all of their crap out of Gedon. And Natalia had something that happened to her in the very first hours of gameplay, where she got conned into killing a pod in HiSec and earning a negative security rating, which forced her to flee. And she had to go find a place where she could survive and begin to earn some ISK and begin to make a life where she had to flee with only what she could convince Zoya to bring with her. Because I didn't have 19 different characters then, I only had a couple. And so Zoya has this story, Zoya has this history of going out to Lumigan and joining up with the Foxhounds and learning how to be a miner and learning how to run security missions, training up her missile skills. She now flies a Golem, which is a Caldari marauder, and she's got a story, she's got a history. And it's that history, it's that story that Natalia and Zoya are bringing to the Smuggler's Tales. They're not the same stories, although there's some parallels. But that idea that the players in EVE Online create their own stories, they make their own contributions to the wider narrative of EVE Online, I thought that was really, really, really interesting in terms of how do you get new players engaged early? And the answer is, give them a story that they can tell and not have to have 5 million skill points to tell it. At any rate, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And if I hadn't standing here pontificating, I'd have been under 19 minutes for this. So I'm pleased. And with any luck at all, tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.